evening, Turks and Caicos. Welcome to the program Expressions. I'm your host, Robert Hall. It's a bit rainy and hot here in the nation's capital. Rainy all around the Turks and Caicos Islands, but I have reason to believe it is hot all around. It is still summer, and I'll tell you, October is a very, very hot month. So I'm going to remind all of you, particularly you seniors, to keep yourself hydrated, drink lots of liquid, and stay out of the sun as much as you can, because this heat is not playing. All right? I know, too, at home, it may cost you a few dollars more, but if you have your AC, try to keep yourself cool as much as possible. Use your fans. Where possible, open your windows. If a little bit of breeze is coming in, try to keep yourself cool. I want to welcome all of you to Expressions this evening. For all of you over there in Solki, I bid you welcome. Here in the nation's capital, Grand Turk, good evening to you and welcome to Expressions. To all of you down there in South Caicos, welcome. Let's hope with this relatively calm weather, your fishing catch is quite good. Although calm doesn't always mean that the bottom of the sea is necessarily settled. I know that, having been out there many, many times in the past, though not recently. There was a time when I would leave Grand Turk and go down to South Caicos or Middle Caicos on a weekend just to go fishing. I loved it, and I love boating ever so much. Good evening to all of you down there on Middle Caicos. There aren't many of you, but yet precious souls nevertheless. How are you over there on North Caicos and Parrot Key and Pine Key? Welcome to Expressions. To all of you in Providenciali, spread all over that island, welcome to Expressions. I do crave your participation this evening. And for the few who may be on West Caicos, welcome to you. And of course, there are a few of our workers over there on Ambergris Keys. Good evening and welcome. I don't know what the arrangement is now, but I know that in the past, a number of them would commute from South Caicos, of course by boat, over to Ambergris Key and back. There are a few who stay in dormitories over there during the work week. But let me hope, whether it's on Ambergris Keys, Parrot Key, or Pine Key, wherever, that they are giving our workers a good deal. That is my hope. I also want to welcome all of members of the diaspora around the world, in particular those up there in the United Kingdom, two of my daughters are studying right now, my good friend Yuanka Selva, and many, many others. A good evening to all of those in the United States of America and down there in the Bahamas. Welcome. Other islands of the Caribbean, and you're tuning in and listening to Expressions, welcome. Good evening, Adele Branch, a frequent viewer of Expressions. Now, I have a pretty interesting program lineup for you this evening. As I promised, I am going to be featuring a minister critiquing his performance on the job. And this evening, we'll be looking at Honorable Arlington Alexander Musgrove, who is the representative for North and Middle Caicos, as well as Minister of Physical Planning and Infrastructure Development. I want to hear your views, particularly those of you in Middle and North Caicos. That's your representative. You must have an idea of what his performance is like as a representative, and the wider Turks and Caicos Islands ought to be able to critique his performance as minister. I will also touch on a few other areas of interest and express some concern for our young men, and in particular, our young men here in Grand Turk. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for all of your blessings. At this time, we put before you the young men of the Turks and Caicos Islands. Lord, you know that many of them have missed their way. They are misled. They are confused. Some are in prison. Some are awaiting trial. Some are committing serious crimes. And there may be a few at this very moment contemplating what crime they would commit. We pray, dear Father, that you would touch their hearts and let them have that come to Jesus moment. Because after families have tried, society have tried, then is left to you, dear Father. But indeed, that change has to start with them. And so we pray for their safety, and that they would turn away from some of the evil things that they are now doing. We pray that as a country, we will all seek to be our brothers and sisters' keepers and look out for one another instead of hauling down one another. Bless us this evening, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good evening, Wilton Barber Selva, and good evening, Mr. Leonard Franklin. And he says, Birmingham, Manchester, and Leeds and London diaspora are locked on. Okay. Are you suggesting that you're up there? Or are you talking with someone or a few of them up there to know that they are locked on? Anyway, thanks ever so much. I will start with my concern for our young men. Now, the past several years, we have seen an upsurge in serious crimes, particular murders and drug-related offenses, as well as human trafficking. And I have a feeling they're all intertwined. I am not suggesting that all of it is done by our young men, but certainly many of our young men are so involved. And for that matter, there are others who may not be Turks and Caicos Islanders. They do not enjoy that status, but they may have other status, whether work permit, PRC, or what have you. And of course, there's a growing number that are British overseas territory. And that would mean, to an extent, particularly those who have PRCs and are British Overseas Territory citizens, that they are here to stay. That is, of course, unless they choose to go elsewhere. But many are realizing today the very Turks and Caicos Islands, which many turn up rock on years ago, they are coming back here. And they are finding out there is no place like Turks and Caicos. just about weekly, I'm getting inquiries from someone in the States, in the Bahamas, about obtaining status cards, about obtaining passports. Many who have spent their years abroad and are now becoming infirm, ill, and they are inquiring what benefits they could get from Turks and Caicos Islands. I inform them, yes, they are Turks and Caicos Islanders, then they can get their status card, they can obtain their passports, but they cannot live in the Bahamas or the States on a permanent basis and expect to get, be it non-contributory old age pension or the 70 plus years old pension that is provided. I know that's a bit disappointing news for them, but that is as it is. Because you, could you imagine the thousands of Turks and Caicos Islanders living in the Bahamas if that floodgate was open to all of them to receive that $1,000 per month? That's those who are over 70. Wow. Now that would virtually wreck our revenue. But my major concern, like I have said before, is about our young men. Not so much the young women. Every week or two, Miss Karen Cox, when you pick up the newspaper, you will see a lady being promoted to some position or another. Last week was the exception, because after a long time, last week I saw where Mr. Thomas was promoted to some deputy position, I think in DCR. Congratulations to him and a few other males who are making it up the ladder. I want to challenge you young men for a number of reasons. And I'm going to say this, particularly here in Grand Turk, because there is a difference as you go down the islands. Most of the young men in South Caicos were once engaged in the fishing industry. Some of them are now becoming involved in the hotel industry and other related areas. In middle and north, many of the young men have acquired skills in construction, and several of them work in various capacities, Parrot Key, Pine Key, and throughout the islands, even far away as Providenciales. Providenciales, it is a mixture. And a lot of the individuals are in the taxi business, VIP transportation, small businesses, the construction industry, hospitality services, you name it. I am not saying that all of the young men are gainfully occupied. Some of them, I dare say, by choice. Because there is indeed enough work in Providenciales that if an ambitious individual wants two jobs, he can find it. Here in Grand Turk, there is that tendency, I want a government job, I want a contract, or I want to go hustle on the beach. Yes, you can do that, and in some instances, you may earn a fairly decent living. But many of you will not be able to build yourselves and your families just by that. And so I have been urging our young men, and some who are not so young, to avail yourselves of the opportunities and cast your net, so to speak, in deeper waters. You cannot continue in the shallows of life. That will get you nowhere. Then later on, when you see the ladies with their bachelor's degrees and their master's degrees and upward, and they end up marrying the foreign men who are more qualified than you are, and when I say qualified, I don't mean necessarily just the qualities that make for a good husband or good boyfriend, but as far as possible, individuals want to be compatible. And so if you have barely left primary or high school and you have not taken up a trade or some profession, because I want to make it clear now, I am not saying that all of you have to have your bachelor's degrees in some academic subject, because some of the more successful small business persons are those with skills, like the plumbers and the electricians and the builders. But it is sad that if you had to ask for 6 masons in Grand Turk, I will bet my last dollar you cannot find 6 masons who are Turks and Caicos Islanders. Yes, 1 or 2 individuals will come forward who could throw a little mud over the blocks. But I'm talking about real masons. I believe Herbert and Siaiwa said they could do that. But I ain't talking about them cobblers. I'm talking about real, real masons. And these are the people who make the money. But whether you're in the golf cart business, whether you're in the jet ski business, whether you're in the restaurant business out on the beach or what have you, why don't you enroll yourselves in the community college where tuition is free and get yourself certified in some of the other areas? Today, this world calls for individuals with multi-talents, multi-skills. So if one thing doesn't work, Ruby Harvey and Nixon Dickinson, and I know you both would agree with me, then you have something else to fall on. Young men here in Grand Turk, I'm appealing to you. Some of you feel you can push drugs and make a decent living. You are looking for jail. And what is sad, as has happened in the past, you may cause your parents, your girlfriend, your wife, to end up embarrassed by being arrested because of your own acts. So I'm appealing to you to tidy up yourself in more ways than one and see how you can improve yourself. Our ladies are doing quite fine. Most of them have decent jobs in government, their own cars, their own apartments, houses, and so on. Young men, you can do it too. You can do it. I am not knocking those who patronize the bars and try to make the ladies happy. But think of it. What's the point making them happy? And they are able to build big houses in the Dominican Republic off your dime. But you can't even go into those houses. Now imagine that. You got to catch your head, brothers. I'm appealing to you. You got to catch your head. The number to call is 1-900-2222-007. 946-2007. 0007. I'm going to pause because at this time there may be some matters that others of you would wish to raise, and I want to give you an opportunity to do just that. You may call those numbers that I mentioned. You may message me at 244-7332. While waiting on you, again, I want to compliment our security forces for the awesome job that they are doing. Almost every day, they are or every week, they're apprehending various individuals, be it persons who come in illegally or have overstayed. Then additionally, up to now, they have recovered some 18 guns off our streets. That could be a matter of saving many, many lives. We should be indeed grateful for our combined forces, our police, our regiment, our border forces, who, like I said earlier on, is doing a tremendous job. And I ask the public, as seemed to be the case, to continue to support them, provide the necessary information. That information you give may save the life of your son, your daughter, or even save your own life. Good evening to my dear cousin, Fillmore Lightburn. One of these times, I'd like to have you on Expressions. You have so much experience of life, and particularly in this month, which is Heritage Month, to talk about life, particularly in the early years on Middle Caicos, and then later as you move to Providenciales. May God continue to bless you and your daughter for relating some of these beautiful stories. I am very much taken up with them. In fact, a little later in the show, I'm going to talk about a few men in Middle Caicos who made a tremendous impact on my life as a youngster growing up there. And others of you can certainly feel free to join in. A good evening, Jenna Major, and she says, blessing to you, Honorable Hall. It's always a pleasure to listen to you, and always a pleasure having you here, and I look forward to you expressing your views. And like I was saying, the police force and all the others combined, it seems to me like they have a new burst of energy and a direction, and they are doing a tremendous job out there. I see them out on the beat around here in Grand Turk, checking on businesses, not just business licenses, work permits, and the like. That is very, very important, Evelyn Forbes, and I hope that you, the public, will give them your cooperation. All right. So now, where do we go from there? The last show, I was in a mellow mood and I was playing mellow kind of music. This time, I'm bringing you a different type of music totally. Some which you younger people might not have even heard about. But when I was in my 20s, I had these sorts of albums. And many nights, I would go to sleep with this kind of music. So I will share some of it with you. How many of you have ever heard the name Skeeter Davis? If you have, those of you who've logged on, let me hear you say yes. And if so, which song have you heard of Skeeter Davis? And others of you, if you have, WhatsApp me and tell me if you have. 244 73-32. Well, I'm not sure how many of you do know of Skeeter Davis, but oh gosh, she has had a beautiful voice. Beautiful voice. And I love her songs. There are so many of them. But I have chosen just two of her songs, and later on one of Jimmy Reeves, especially for you, my cousin Elaine Forbes, and my dear cousin Wilbert. Now the song, My Last Date, is not relevant to you, because I know you all have taken that pledge from until death us do part. And from the looks of it, there is no parting for you too. And the same could be said for many others. But there are others, you know, who are indeed having their last dates. Many who got into relationships with all sorts of dreams and aspirations, but find out things didn't work out that well. Sometimes we've got to take a little time to look around us. It reminds me of the song that says, I want to know what love is. Good evening, Dulcine. Well, I tell you what, if I don't know what love is at this stage, I will never know it. But I will tell you, I have experienced love, and I'm still experiencing love in some ways. And when I say in some ways, you know, I always say true love never dies. You hear that? True love never dies, but it changes form. If it was love, it could never really turn to hate. It was something else. Hear what I say? If it was love, it could never turn to hate. It was something else. Yes, time do change us, Django Morris. And that's where some people say they grow out of love. It's not a matter of growing out of love. It's a matter of not taking time to understand the changes that are taking place in your partner's life. You see what I mean? And this is where communication in any relationship is so important. Communication. But let me talk less right now and let you relax wherever you are, be it in your kitchen preparing something, or in your living room, or on your way driving home. Let me hope this is not your last date, but I love this song. Skeeter Davis, Last Date. I'm sure you would agree with me, that's really, really beautiful. It seems as if I've touched the chord somewhere in some person's soul today, well, this evening, because a number of persons have chimed in, and this guy says, good evening, Honorable Hall. Skeeter Davis is one of our country greatest. Get Along Without You Now, that's a great song as well. And then he says, regarding our young men, why to date the government's yet to fully open a proper trade school? I am so thinking of opening a trade school myself. Thank you. And thanks, too, for that idea. A trade school can go very, very far. But again, like I mentioned, there are certain courses that are offered at the community college. You could only take the horse to the well. You cannot make him drink. Our young men, if they are to improve, they have to avail themselves of the opportunity. And this person says, I got her smiling. Hey, well, that's part of the whole purpose of the show, you know, to bring a little joy put a little smile on your face. Why not? Sometimes I may say something that reminds some of you of your earlier days in courtship. Whether here in Grand Turk, Salt Key, Middle, North, or wherever. Yes, and some of the beautiful things that you may have dealt with. And someone asked, what is the topic for today? Well, there are several topics, so to speak, but one of those I am going to critique, or have you, the public, a little later on, critique the work of Honorable Arlington Alexander Musgrove as representative for Middle and North Caicos and as Minister of Physical Planning and Infrastructure Development. We pay all of them a decent salary, and they say they came for this work, so we must hold them accountable. We must hold their feet to the fire. And we must not be blinded by partisan loyalty. Some of you, I know, do not like to hear me criticize some of the ministers. But I would be a hypocrite if I don't. And what I try to do, of course, is to criticize constructively so that some of them could pull up their socks or their pants, whatever it is, and do better. There is a tendency among some politicians, once they get there, to then think that they're all experts in almost every field, and they do not need to consult or listen to anyone. They're just fooling themselves. Fooling themselves. There are a few ministers who respond quite rapidly when I would message or call them, and I make it clear. 99% of the time, the matters have nothing to do with me, but an advocate on behalf of the people. Because so often they would say, Mr. Hall, I tried several ministers. I got no response. I got one. He said he's going to call back, but he hasn't until now. And what can I do? One may say that's not part of my remit here on expressions, but I have to give a listening ear. And where I can assist, will certainly forward the information on and suggest that the relevant minister take some action. There are some of them who don't respond. And in due course, I'm not going to hesitate to call them out, cause it what it may. Because you are public servants. You are there to serve the people. And the same thing goes for some senior civil servants who simply do not answer their phones. What the hell do you think government give them for? To serve the people. You have to remember this day whom you serve. And we're not talking about the Almighty God who is supreme. But he himself would demand that you put in an honest day work. Even though sometimes some of you may consider your pay not an honest day pay. I don't think too many civil servants can complain because of the increases that have been provided. And we are in a much, much better position salary-wise than most Caribbean territories. All right. Now, I didn't see much reaction, but I think that you did enjoy that song by Skeeter Davis. Now, having played that one, before I go on to deal with Minister Arlington Chuck Musgrove, or rather you, to deal with him, I'm going to ask my technical operator to pull up yet another Skeeter Davis for your listening pleasure. And I'm sure you will enjoy this one likewise. I think this one is End of the World. I'm sure you would agree with me too. That is a very soothing, beautiful one. And this person says, End of the World is written for the loss of her dear friend. Beautiful song. I'm delighted to see others are appreciating my taste of music. It's not always this matter of just jiggy, 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 you know? Sometimes it's just good to just chill and take in a music of a different genre. Yes. Now, as promised, we're going to do a critique of the Honorable Arlington Alexander Musgrove, Minister for Physical Planning and Infrastructural Development. As the title suggests, just about all matters of infrastructure falls under his portfolio. He is also the representative for Middle and North Caicos. Before I make any comments, I am going to expect six of you at least. Now, if you really want to hear my critique, six of you at least should call in and state your views. Those of you in Middle and North, and I know that many of you live elsewhere but voted in North, let's hear how you view him as a representative for those two islands, Middle and North Caicos. And others of you throughout the Turks and Caicos, how do you view him as Minister for Physical Planning and Infrastructure Development? The number to call is 1-900-2222-007-946-2007. Whatever your thoughts, I would love to hear them. I am sure the ministers would like to know how they are viewed in the public domain. Well, I have one text come in so far, and let me read it. Honorable Musgrove needs to pull up his socks, even his pants and suspenders. The situation with roads in Provo is so deplorable to date. I haven't heard nothing in budget for new or resurfacing. Planning needs a task force to clean up illegal development. The planning department seems to be sleeping on the job. How can we have illegal development on the highway and other areas in plain sight with no action taken? Some areas people get a plan to build and they end up building the whole alphabet and planning take no action. Area that was permitted for residential is filled with apartments and no place to park. People adding to the existing property that's contrary to the planning laws. That's a mouthful, if not an earful. Thank you ever so much. And I hope Honorable Musgrove, his permanent secretary, others close to him are listening. And so I invite others of you, some of you have logged on, let's see your comments. Others of you, like I said, call 1-900-2222-007-946-2007. Or message me, like that person did, to 244-7332. This person texts me to say he sounds very sweet mouth. Boy, I know, alas, I hear that one. That's some old saying I used to hear them people in Middle Caker say, sweet mouth. Sweet mouth is one thing, action is another. What do you think about his activities? Has he been really doing what he's supposed to do? That is indeed the question. Come on, callers, let's hear. This is your shot. This is your time. You pay your ministers, your representatives, so let them know how you feel about them and their performance. And like I said at the introduction, this evening it's Honorable Arlington Alexander Musgrove's turn. And I want you to examine his performance as representative and as minister. We have a first caller. Good evening. Apparently we have lost that one. Do call back. It's important that you call back. 946-2007 or 1-900-2222-007. You may message me at 244-7332. Remember, I said I want to hear at least six calls before I give you my view. All right? Let's see who will be the brave one, the first one to call. That person who called earlier, do call back. And this person says he is a Facebook representative. That's an interesting one there. Boy. All right, we have our caller. Caller, go right ahead.
Yes, Brother Hall, good afternoon, man.
Good afternoon, and how are you?
Oh, not bad. And how are you and family?
Oh, real fine, man, real fine. Give God
okay.
Thanks.
Okay, right. Brother Hall, you have a good topic on this afternoon, man. It's very interesting. Oh. Yeah, because you can't get into Blue Hills at...
Hello?
Right on.
Yes, your call is sort of dropping, but go ahead.
It's blocked. You cannot get to Blue Hills right now. And as far as developing, but who are, like Honorable Derek Taylor had spoken on the show before, but who are we developing these places for? Because we don't have the numbers. We don't have the technical skills, and we're going to be and these places for. So if you can explain and give us some answers concerning the development, I mean, it would be great for the public to hear what the outcome is going to be. Because, and also, but as far as traffic, the government should put a hold on people bringing cars to the island, man, because there is no way that can work, because right now, like I said, you cannot get into Blue Hills as of right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Likewise. Now, with regards to development, it is often said, what is development if the people don't benefit? I challenge that statement Because in any significant development, the people will benefit. What we should be doing is making more efforts to maximize the benefits that they can derive. Now, what do I mean when I say that? All right. You're talking, let's say, a major hotel. All right? During the construction of that hotel, there is employment. Hence, those individuals have spending power in the supermarkets. They will rent and maybe even construct apartments, further contributing to development. They have to pay national health insurance. That is, again, important. And the same goes when that hotel development is complete. And then additionally, as visitors come and go, they pay a departure fee. When they live in the hotels, they pay an accommodation tax, and all of those funds go into our revenue. And that is why I say any major development does benefit the Turks and Caicos Islands. Now, for several of them, there may be the downside of it, and we have to be extremely careful about the adverse environmental impact that some of these development may bring, particularly when it comes to the dredging part of it. And Providenciales, to a great extent, is really dredge up or dredge out. Many cases, you know, people want to have boats on the canals, and by so doing, while it reduces the amount of land, but it increases the value of it. All right? So that is as much as I would say in that regard. But again, there are the other measures that government must take to ensure that the people benefit. And one of the ways they can do that is with immigration and labor, checking the construction sites to make sure no one is working illegally. I'm not going into that in detail, not this evening, on another occasion, but there are many persons working as electricians, and they are not properly or duly licensed. It is for government to peruse that and ensure that our laws are followed. Now, sometimes there are those in the same skill set, Turks and Caicos Islanders, who for a few dollars do employ these individuals and sort of certify their work. That is something that you need to cut out. The number to call is 1-900-2222-007, 946-2007. I guess you don't want to hear my views, because like I said, I want to hear 6 views before I give mine. Perhaps you don't care to hear mine, because I'm not hearing the views expressed too readily. And anyway, let me check my messages. And this person say he really need to do something with the roads in Provo. I've been in traffic for over an hour now. Traffic was backed up by Island Bargains on the highway. I joined the traffic at 6 p.m. and I am now reaching the Anglican Church. This is deplorable. I do agree with you. They need to come up with a master plan for transportation in general in Providenciales. And it's not just a matter about resurfacing roads. It's more than that. this other person messaged me to say, since you are a lover of music as I am, I would like you to pull up, if you can, a song by Spanky and Our Gang, Give a Damn. Might be a good song to end your show. You are always spot on. Blessing to you. Thank you very much. Well, coming from you, I suppose the lyrics are clean, because I don't normally like to play any song that I haven't listened to, because I want to ensure that the lyrics are the type that I can identify with and that I think are worthy of airplay. The number to call is 1-900-222-007-946-2007. Continue to message me at 244-7332. I need to hear your voice. This person says, Honorable Hall, government infrastructure not catching up with the development of Providenciales. I agree with you entirely. If our road network and other infrastructure could hardly cope with what we have in terms of the massive developments that are proposed, it will be nothing but chaos if there isn't a major plan to address those matters right now. The number to call, 1-900-222-007-946-2007. Well, I don't like to beg people to do things. You have the voters in Middle and North Caicos elected him to serve. The Premier has had confidence in him and has made him Minister of Physical Planning and Infrastructural Development. What I will say of him as representative from the little that I have heard, I know that he is well loved, particularly in Bottle Creek, and I could generalize and say North Caicos, and has great support. I would say, though, less so in Middle Caicos, as some have expressed to me that while it's called the Twin Islands, they don't feel like they're being treated as twins. Now, I don't live there, so I don't have first-hand experience. It's just the brief time that I spend there, and people would come to me and speak. Here are my own views. All right? Honorable Arlington Alexander Musgrove hails from the settlement of Bottle Creek on North Caicos, where he attended primary and high school. He was always good at his hands and took up construction at an early age. This took him to the Bahamas, the United States, and as far away as Dubai, where he partly constructed a palace for a princess. Here in the Turks and Caicos, many buildings are testament to the fine work he produced, paying attention to fine details. Starting out as a young man in Bottle Creek, he was able, through his skills, to build considerable wealth for himself and family. In his second term as representative for Middle and North Caicos, he now heads the Ministry of Physical Planning and Infrastructural Development, a ministry tailor-made for him. He is quite vocal in Parliament, and in his Bottle Creek style, endears him not only to his constituents, but to voters at large. He's said to be quite approachable and is always willing to give a listening ear and a helping hand. As a result, many see him as holding higher office in the future, a view I do not necessarily share. Taking nothing from him, I think he is quite capable of doing an excellent job as representative and as minister of PPID. Somewhat about 8 months in the job, there may not be much that I could pinpoint to, but I am sure that he is capable in that ministry that he now heads. That is indeed my honest opinion. Do you agree with me or not? The number to call, 1-900-2222-007. 946-2007. You may message me at 244-7332. And this person says, good evening, God's blessing, brother. This is what we are facing right now in Provo. And he showed me a photo of backup traffic. Yes, many are speaking out about that, and government needs to do something and do it fast. And good evening to you, Tom Wells. He said that he is tuning in late. Well, we've gone through just about an hour of the show. Thank you very much. The number to call is 1-900-2222-007. 946-2007. Do you have any comments to make? It surprises me that very few of you would openly express your opinions about the performance of your representative and minister. In my view, it is so important that they know exactly how you feel about them and their performances. Well, again, that is entirely up to you. All right, let me move on in the same mood that we're in earlier, but not Skeeter Davis this time. This time, Jimmy Reeves. I love you because. That is indeed beautiful, and in a minute or two, we'll pull up another favorite from Jimmy Reeves that somebody requested, though it's not really request time. Put your sweet lips a little closer to the phone. That is one of the great old hits of time. There is no doubt about it. So many beautiful, beautiful songs. And it's so nice to see that many of you are liking, you know, this kind of music. Like I said, I don't play it much these days, but I really love it. And years ago, oh gosh, I would go to sleep listening to those music. Yeah. A technical operator, when you've pulled that up, just for the listening pleasure of someone who requested it, and no doubt others would enjoy it. Perhaps the person wants to play that for his significant other. It is so nice when you do have a significant other. But after all, there's nothing wrong if you don't have one. All you have to do is make yourself content and focus on yourself. Because sometimes, like I often say, we wait on others to make us happy. You've got to make yourself happy. Others should only be able to add to that happiness. Wow, beautiful song. Certainly, I wouldn't want to be caught in that situation. Someone sent me another photo of the traffic jam up in Providenciales and said, just a glimpse of how urgent we need to address the road works on Provo. No lie, 45 minutes from Scotiabank to Caribbean Place. Yeah, that's not far. And to tell you, that means traffic is really, really jammed up. All right, by way of public information, here is a release from the governor's office. Mr. Justice Bernard Turner appointed new chair of the Turks and Caicos Islands Integrity Commission. Published in the TCI Sun, Her Excellency Governor Delini Daniel Selvaratnam has appointed Justice Bernard Turner, who has an illustrious legal career in the Bahamas, as the new chair of Turks and Caicos Islands Integrity Commission. Mr. Justice Turner, who has been a judge for the Turks and Caicos Islands Court of Appeals since May 2023, succeeds Madam Justice Tanya Loban Jackson, who chaired the Integrity Commission since December 2021. And was the first resident judge to be appointed to that position. In a press release issued on Monday, October 6, 2025, the governor said, this marked an important step in strengthening public integrity and accountability. The appointment was made following consultation with the Honorable Premier and the Honorable Leader of the Opposition, and in accordance with Section 3.1b of the Integrity Commission Ordinance. The governor welcomed the appointment of Justice Turner and thanked Justice Loban Jackson for her dedicated service and contribution to strengthening the integrity framework, stating the effectiveness review made clear that while the Integrity Commission plays a vital role in upholding ethical standards, important reforms are needed to enhance its effectiveness and public confidence. I want to acknowledge and thank outgoing Chair Justice Loban Jackson for her committed service and for her leadership in supporting the initiation of the effectiveness review, which has provided a strong foundation for the next phase of reform. Under her guidance, the Commission has begun to take forward the review's recommendations, strengthening key areas of its work. You, the public, can read the rest of it. It's pretty lengthy and outlines the experience that the goodly gentleman has had. This is one of those watchdog committees, so to speak, for good governance. And is enshrined in the Constitution. The chair must always be either a serving or retired justice. And so often when we see these appointments, the first thing would come to us is, why not a Turks and Caicos Islander? I have repeatedly said that up until now, we have just one person who was a justice of the Supreme Court, and he is now retired and in different roles. So it is understandable, in my view, why there is someone from outside, but serving as a justice in our courts. Certainly wish him well. talking about appointments, the electricity board has recently been appointed likewise, and I will soon pull that up and share with you the membership of that board. But indeed, one is complaining that although that board was appointed in July, this is now October, and it has not had a meeting. Honorable Minister and the Chair, they need to get on with the business that is at hand. Let me first give you the names of the persons, and they are Floyd Williams, he is the Chair of the Electricity Board, Sherlock Clyde Smith is a member, Gervin Stevens member, Menelik Aswood member, Secretary Larissa Robinson, Director of Planning, ex officio, Energy and Utilities Commissioner, ex officio, Permanent Secretary in that ministry, ex officio, so on. However, the complaint that has come in reads as follows. Good evening, Mr. Hall. The government has appointed the new board members for the Electricity Board on July 15 in the cabinet meeting, and that came into effect July 31. Since then, up to present hour, nothing has been done. It is now 3 months since the board hasn't met. There are foreign electricians waiting for labor clearance for work permits, plus approval for the electrical license. They are here in record numbers working in our country contrary to law, due to the fact that there is no board to process their documents. Plus, there are applications for first-time electrical licenses and renewals. Do you think this is right? No, that cannot be right. Do you think government officials care a damn about the country? I do think some of them care. My question is, why are they procrastinating in government? I guess it's only for a paycheck. Your country is only as good as the people who live in it. No pride, no glory, concerned citizens. Thank you very much, and I've read it as you've written it, and I hope that the relevant persons who can make a difference would have heard and indeed will make the difference. The number to call is 1-900-2222-007-946-2007, or you may message me at 244-7332. And this person says, Lucy is listening to your show. Thank you ever so much, Lucy, little baby. I guess most likely one of my little cousins then. All right. Hello. All right. The number to call is 1-900-2222-007-946-2007. If you have any other matter that you wish to raise at this time, feel free to do so and call in at the numbers listed, or you may message me at 244-7332, 244-7332. Before I end expressions for yet another day, I wanted to offer a few more comments, particularly as it relates to health and allied services. Now, government is paying considerable sums of monies referring patients abroad. At any given time, we may have several of our citizens at Health City in the Cayman Islands, hospitals in the Dominican Republic, in Jamaica, and less the Bahamas, as well as in Colombia. Many of our citizens complain about the inadequacy of the little allowance that is given when someone accompanies a patient. The question has been asked of me, and perhaps I bounce it back to you. Shouldn't we all, where possible in cases like these, help to bear some of the cost for our health? When you consider during your lifetime, your contribution to national health insurance may be only a few thousand dollars, but in some cases, treatments are running up to $500,000 and $1 million. For a small country with limited funds, are we reasonable in expecting government to bear the full cost of your health? I want you, the public, to weigh in on that. Many of you call me. Many of you have various comments to make about it. This is your opportunity. I thank God that thus far I have not had to rely on national health insurance. The only thing I go to the hospitals for is for pressure tablets, and in more recent time, to get some treatment for my bad knees. But beyond that, I knock on wood, thank God, I have not had to spend a night in hospital for these 74 years. Indeed, thankful. Others are not so fortunate in that regard, and many have had to be repeatedly sent abroad. Now, there are those senior citizens and some who are actually welfare recipients. We shouldn't expect them to bear any costs. But there are some situations where individuals may be, just for instance, in long-term care at our hospital or allied facilities. Shouldn't families play a greater role? Some of those individuals, I'm sure, are getting, be it non-contributory pension or other forms of pension, what happens to that money? Are families doing what they ought to be doing instead of demanding each step of the way that government does more? Mind you, government has a certain responsibility for the health of its citizens, and this is where, in my view, much more emphasis needs to be placed on primary health care. The old saying is, stitch in time saves nine. If the individuals avail themselves to constantly monitor their health, then it might avert tertiary care. But many wait until the last minute when the illness may very well be fully blown. There's one area I'm going to challenge us men. And I know most of us men do not like to go to the hospitals. It's not my favorite spot, but I go there when I need to. And men, all of you, particularly those of you over 40 years old, please go and check your prostate. That is a problem that many men face. And if not taken care of, could become cancerous. It could be life-threatening, but if arrested early, it can be remedied. I know, for various reasons, many are reluctant to go and get checked out, but it's better to go and get checked out than to fall ill. And we must all take more responsibilities for our health. Some individuals are plagued with high blood pressure, sugar, diabetes, what have you, but yet want to drink hard liquor every day. There is only so much your system can deal with. You have to take better care of yourself. The number to call is 1-900-2222-007, 946-2007. There are some, while I wait your call, who complain of long waits at airports on air ambulance. You see, you must understand, though that is inconvenient, there isn't an air ambulance just sitting down somewhere, be it in Florida or Puerto Rico, just waiting on our call. And so those who provide the services have to check to see where one is available before the dispatch to Turks and Caicos. And it's the same situation where, when we're referring our patients to various hospitals, not in every case they have a bed, they're just waiting, say, for TCI, no. So there may be times when they would call Cayman Islands, depending on the complaint. They may say, sorry, that service is not available at this time. So now you have to check, be it Jamaica, be it Colombia, be it the Dominican Republic, and occasionally United States of America. And while most people would prefer to go to the United States of America, there's a limit to what national health insurance and what this country can afford. Because the United States system is awfully expensive because it is geared that private practitioners and pharmaceuticals make a lot of money. That's why it's very, very costly. So when you admit it, there is contingent of doctors that would deal with you, and each one with a different billing system. That's why it becomes so expensive compared to many other places. Few persons have their private insurance, and that is something for those who can afford it, I certainly would encourage. But for the, should I say, ordinary man, they would rely on national health insurance, because insurance is by no means cheap. Well, we're getting down to the end of expressions, and I may very well end it earlier than usual, in that seems like tonight my viewers and listeners have somewhat gone to sleep. Well, there is a person who said that they have a comment to make, but would want to call me off air. Well, I'm not sure if it's about the health situation or what, but certainly would look forward, look forward to hearing your views. Otherwise, then, whatever your views are now, do call 1-900-2222-007 or 946-2007 or message me at 244-7332. 244-7332. At any given time, we would have a few dozen citizens at health facilities spread all over the place. I would urge the Minister of Health not only to strengthen the primary health care, and someone sent me a photo of the rundown old clinic in Blue Hills. That whole facility just about needs to be torn down and a modern facility built to service the people there. That really needs to be done. But what I would like to see happen, and used to happen when these hospitals were first open, for non-emergency cases, take like knee replacement, they would accumulate, let's say, 4, 5, or 6, and then bring in the necessary expertise to undertake these operations right here. But I notice that for some time now, they've all been sent abroad, primarily to Hell City in Cayman Islands. I don't know what is the advantage of that, but I urge the minister to look at that very, very carefully. This person texts me to say, Mr. Hall, you're the hottest show in town. Trust me, the listeners are listening. Just may be too tired from work to call in. Good night. Thank you very much. But you see, I do not like to be constantly talking without some interaction from the public. And like I always say, when you make your comments by phone calls or messages, then you cause me to dive deeper. There may be some aspect to a particular matter that I might not have considered. And that's where your views would prompt me to look at other areas. And by the way, although when I invite you to, you hardly ever respond, But if you can think of any means by which we could improve expressions, I would welcome it. And again, I say to the general public, many of you out there don't have to wait for me to invite you. You know yourself. You have something to offer? Tell me. And then I can formally invite you to be my guest here on Expressions. It's not just for the politicians and some other public figures. It's for others of you. So do feel free. Because remember, Expressions is the people's show. They say Robert Hall's show. I'm just the host of the show. But it's for you, the people. It's you who make it what it is. What would be a show with no listeners or no participation? The number to call, 1-900-2222-007. 946-2007, or message me at 244-7332. I can see some two of you are sending messages. I will await those, and then perhaps I will end Expressions for another day. And hopefully on Wednesday, I would have guests. They haven't confirmed as yet, but last week, Wednesday, we had a postponement. Some folks are supposed to come in to talk about things TCI. I will follow up in the next day or so, and hopefully I have guests on Wednesday. And I'm going to invite you, the public, if there are community matters worthwhile mentioning, just let me know, and I would be happy to help publicize it. This person says, Mr. Hall, what is the situation with the airport development? Not a good look seeing the lines of tourists outside the terminal waiting to get inside. I agree with you 100%. It is rather chaotic out there on some flight days. At one time, there seemed to have been daily talk and press releases and what have you about this $400 million proposed new terminal building. There were talks about it being one which would involve private partnership with government. But in more recent time, I'm hearing absolutely nothing. I hope that the relevant ministers, and indeed the Premier, will soon update this country and let us know where we are with regards to that very important piece of infrastructure that is so badly needed. Thank you for your comment. And this person messaged me to say, Mr. Hall, is government looking at different areas to diversify our economy? Would it be possible for us to open a health center similar to Cayman Islands? Medical tourism is big business. The Cayman Islands exchange rates are high, and they can build a health center. Why can't we? We can hire specialists from the Dominican Republic, Cuba, and the Caribbean region. We still have the U.S. dollar that can attract professionals to fill these areas. All right, thanks very much for your comment. Now, just remember that the health facility that we send our patients to is not a government facility. It is a private facility in the Cayman Islands, run by some Indian doctors. Now here in the Turks and Caicos, I am of the view that once Dr. Ewing becomes successful, and I didn't say if, you know, I say once he becomes successful with a medical university that he is building here in Turks and Caicos, it would provide similar services and certainly provide expertise right here. For instance, in the Bahamas, Princess Margaret is the government hospital, but doctors, which is private, do undertake a great deal of work that are referred to it even from Princess Margaret. I can see the same situation happening here. And so there is nothing preventing a similar facility like they have in the Cayman Islands to be built here. I understand some folks said that a similar proposal was put to government. Now, I do not know which. I remember years ago, though, when I was Minister of Health, there was, in fact, a medical university, I think somewhere up by Dominion House. But at the time, quite frankly, I was not too hot on the idea. I did not want us to be churning out doctors upon doctors and then there were serious concerns about their qualifications. But everything is now far advanced, and so no doubt we can have that. This person says, evening, Honorable Hall. I am listening, but took a minute to text as I am working hard to get on Lady Salt Key and the 2025 ports build a boat camp. Boat weight and balance for the big race. All right. Thanks very much. And wish you much success as you try to give some of our youngsters, help them to develop their model boat building skills. And this person's text to say, Honorable Hall, I had both my knees replaced here in Grand Turk, something like 13 to 14 years ago, and they are going well. Great. It would have been nice if I could get mine done here. But as it seems right now, I doubt that is the case. And to the individual who talked about diversifying the economy, yes, government is looking at that, and I know that they are paying more attention and have invested more in the financial services, hoping that that could bring in considerable revenues for the Turks and Caicos. I don't want to be pessimistic, but I have said many times, bearing in mind our high cost of energy, high cost relatively of water and labor, it's highly unlikely that we'll become an industrialized country. Now, whether we can attract the kind of technology to take off in a big way here and create employment and bring in revenue, that one is beyond me. What I do know and more familiar with considerable investment in fishing and agriculture, we can do much more for ourselves. There's absolutely no doubt about that, in my view. The number to call is 1-900-2222-007, 946-2007, or you may message me at 244-7332. Like an individual text early on to say, oh yeah, people are listening but hesitant to call. It's nice to know that you're listening, but I certainly would want you to call in. And this person follows up to say, I agree, it doesn't have to be fully owned or operated by government. But like the facility that Dr. Ewan is proposing, we can have facilities like that in North or Middle Caicos. Government just needs to be the facilitator. Ironically, how much female are going to the DR for cosmetic surgery and come back here with no facilities to help them in post-recovery? Brother, now that is a touchy subject, and I am going to urge our women folk to be very, very careful about that. Some of you want more hips, want more breasts and the like. Nature did not provide you with it. And many feel like it would enhance your beauty. But there is serious health risk associated with it. I can't tell people what to do with their bodies. But all I'm going to say is be very, very careful. Because instead of enhancing your life, you may very well be destroying your life. Well, ladies and gentlemen, after reviewing the next text that's coming in, unless there are other calls within the next 9 minutes, I intend to end expressions for another evening. I am just awaiting that text, and perhaps while awaiting that, I will ask my technical operator to play one of those lovely songs by Skeeter Davis as we start it out. And then I will read the final messages and end expressions for another evening. Yes, that's what life is like. Say, is it going to get along without you now? You told me I was the sweetest thing. That's what happens ever so often in courtship, you know. When a young man wants to get a lady, he only tells her just about anything. The same thing, too, for the ladies, that make the man feel whatever, you know. But then when they get together, so often, it's a different thing. So, you know, you have to end up saying goodbye. Anyway, as we get down to the end now, this person says, good night, great show. Well, really, I feel... it's a great show when I have lots of participation. That's my view. And this person says, good night, Mr. Hall. The phone line is not good at all today. I would have called in. Gosh. Well, I don't know what's happening there. I would have thought that it was working. And this person say, what happened to these millions and millions of dollars in road work during the campaign? Well, I could only say, I guess it is still in the pipe. Still in the pipeline. All right. Let's hope it will soon come out of the pipeline. No good it just being there. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank all of you for patronizing the show. Andrew, do join me again on Wednesday, when we hope to have yet another very interesting expressions. Do have yourself a pleasant night rest. God bless you.